confidence through remember through remembering his kindness, developing cigarette. So they are developing respect. So there are actually two topics to be covered here. So your teacher, it can be remembered his kindness in two ways. First of all, remembering in general that he is more compassionate and kind than all the other Buddhas, and then particularly he is more kind than Buddha Shakyamuni. And Buddha Shakyamuni, actually through his prayers and kind of determination to benefit all those beings who would be born in this very degenerated era. So it's because of this that Buddha Shakyamuni assumed the aspect of the emanation, different emanations. So he appeared on this earth with tremendous kindness and compassion, and then through his teachings that there were whole great numbers of arahats, all the superior beings who have actually been successful in penetrating into emptiness directly. But despite all these things, but we were not being able to be a direct disciple of Buddha Shakyamuni. So we are actually, we are born in such an era where the Buddha Shakyamuni passed away already 2,500 years ago. So then thinking in light of our own situation, we realize that it is actually your own guru or your own teacher who has been the most kind to you. So it is because of this that in the text you find the mention of how your guru is more compassionate to you than even the Buddha Shakyamuni. So next is the manner of relying upon your teacher through actions. So we finished with how the disciples rely on one's teacher by way of thought, and next is by way of action. So that action is actually done by way of fulfilling the intention of your own teacher through doing proper practices of the Buddha Dharma. So next is the text speaks about the benefit and the demerits of the benefit of guru devotion and demerits of not seeking the guidance of a teacher. So in Tantra, the guru devotion prayer is considered very important. So if you look at the ancient Indian Buddhist literature, especially in terms of Tantra, so we see that so whatever, whether a kind of deity yoga, so we see that in Tibet, actually, there is a separate composition of the Guru Yoga literature. So as such, this Guru Yoga or Guru Yoga composition or Guru Yoga prayer or ritual is actually considered to be actually having these two qualities. First one, reflecting on the qualities of one's own teacher or guru, and then reflecting or beseeching your guru to bestow upon you all the qualities your guru has. So the next topic, the condensed presentation of how to sustain it. There's two divisions, the actual way to sustain it and the reason why it needs to be sustained by means of two modes of sustaining. So here, actually is telling us to, teaching us to how to really employ all the 24 hours in one's practice. And again, the actual way to sustain it has two. What do you do during the meditation session itself? And what do you do during the period between sessions? And for the first one, it is what do you do in preparation. So in this relation, it is taught the six preliminary practices. So they are, the six are cleaning your dwelling and setting up representations of body, speech, and mind of a Buddha. So here, when we speak about setting up the representations of body, speech, and mind of Buddha, so it is not actually indispensably a required thing to have these different stages of Buddha and these things. If you have, it's well and good. If not, it's not a big deal. So if you have, then the manner or the order in which you are to place the various stages is that the stage of the Buddha Shakyamuni or the stage of Buddha should be placed in the center. And then the statue of the Bodhisattvas around him. So, speaking from sutra, there are basically the mention of six remembrances. Remembering the deity, remembering giving, so again, from the sutra point of view, when we speak about the remembering the deity, so there are the mention as to how to devote or how to remember the qualities of the Buddha, qualities of the Tara, Manjushri, and so forth. So it seems that we place those statues of the Tara and so forth in the main Indian temples. It is because that is in relation to what is mentioned of the remembrance of the deity specified or taught in the sutric teachings. So in Tibet, we have actually devotions of the guru, the deities, Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and so forth. So actually, we should be very careful as to set in the proper order when you really place or set those representations, the different statues. So you should not be doing that based on the value, the cost of the statues, placing the most the precious, the most valuable quality statue as the center and so forth. So that is not appropriate. You have to do that, placing the Buddha Shakyamuni, the Buddha statue in the center, and then placing in the proper order. And then while making offerings, so next is laying out offerings. So while doing that, we should make sure that the offering that you're going to make should not be tainted, should not be polluted by two kind of obscurations. One is the obscuration of the materials. The materials should be pure, and the purity of the motivation. The motivation should be also pure. And third one, sitting posture and mental attitude. So here again, with the correction, with the kind of creating the proper motivation, so you have to reflect, try to generate bodhicitta and the refuge. So in order to do that, again, you have to reflect on the four noble truths and true truths and these things. So, in terms of the refuge, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, Sangha is something that when sentient beings or when any being is able to understand the emptiness directly, so that is the Sangha in the learning stage. And whereas that person, the same person, when he understands the emptiness completely, thereby eliminating all the obscurations, he then becomes the Sangha at the normal learning stage, or in other words, the a real Buddha. So by so doing, you have to make a very strong commitment that, oh, indeed, the three jewels, they are reality. It's not something what we mentally created. And then you also generate the bodhicitta, trying to really generate a very strong urge or desire to achieve Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. Then visualization of the merit field, the fourth point. So here, we imagine the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and then your Guru. You visualize all these things in front of you. And you also imagine all the different emanations in the form, emanations of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in the aspect of the Dharma protectors and so forth. You visualize all these intact in front of you. And the next point, accumulation of merit and the purification of negativities. So here, this again consists of 7 points. Offerings, confession of evil deeds, rejoicing, requesting for the wheel of Dharma to be turned, supplication and dedication. So we really, you should reflect on these 7 practices. So I very much suppose that there is in Chinese translations, you find the Samanda Bhadra prayers as a part of the Dopelpuchi Sutra. Is it true? It should be good if you have that version, the saying of the 7 limb puja or the 7 limb practices, like the prostration offering and so forth in the Chinese translation. If you have that, probably you can use that in this in relation to this teaching. And then making supplication to the Guru, keeping in mind the three main points or the three main points to be requested. So though I've already said, so I'm going to make it still clearer. First one is the limb of prostration, making prostration to your Guru, Buddha, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And next, making offerings of something which is freed of the two obscurations, two hindrances, a purity of the purity of motivation and the purity of the substance. And next, confession of the evil deeds. Whatever negativities that you have committed, you are to confess that in front of your teacher and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And next, rejoicing over the virtues that the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and all the other sentient beings have done. And next, requesting for the wheel of Dharma to be turned. So that is actually requesting for your teacher and the Buddhist and Bodhisattvas to give teachings that that the sentient beings will actually can free themselves from the sufferings. And then the next supplication, making request to the Buddhist and Bodhisattvas that they don't assume the passing away, the state of passing away. And the last one, dedication. Dedicating whatever merit that one has accumulated towards the welfare, the benefit of all sentient beings, and so forth. So these comprises the 7 limb puja, or the 7 limb rituals, practices.
(Clears throat)
So next is making supplication with keeping in mind the three main points to be requested for to your teachers. So here the text reads, then with a clear visualization of the objects of a mandala and with strong aspiration, supplicate many times. I pray that all mistaken attitudes towards the spiritual teacher, such as disrespect, may cease, and that all the non-mistaken attitudes towards him may come about with ease. And I request blessings for a complete pacification of all outer and inner obstacles. So as already read, the three main points. First one is that all mistaken attitudes towards the spiritual teacher, such as disrespect, may cease, the first point. And second one, that all the non-mistaken attitudes towards him may come about with ease, second point. And the third one, I request blessings for a complete pacification of all outer and inner obstacles, this third point. So with these three points in mind, you make supplication to your guru and all the Buddhists and Bodhisattvas. And the next topic, what to do during the main part of the meditation? So first, again, it has two parts. How to sustain meditation in general? Second, how to sustain the meditation of this context? So for that, first of all, we have to be very thorough in terms of gaining a complete understanding and understanding of the proper sequence as the meditation, starting from guru devotion or the teacher devotion to the different stages. First, the stage of the small school person, and the stages of the middling school person, and the stages of the great school person.